Well, first, just a couple words about exam three, since we haven't, I haven't shown you that yet, right? Because I haven't given your Scantrons back. When exam three happens, that's the most important part, time in the term usually, to carefully check what has happened to your minimum score required for a C, B, and an A. Because that's usually, exam three is often clearly tells you whether it's going to be feasible or even possible to get through the course. Now the nice thing is that you as a class beat the hell out of my earlier section. Did you notice that when I posted the means? You beat them by, I think, not 11 points, I think, for your mean, something like that. So it was, that in itself is good for you guys, but also it's, for several of you, this was not a lower score than the previous ones, which is what usually happens. So that's cool. Anyway, the minimum required for a C, B, and an A are there for the purpose of letting you determine whether you're going to be able to either get through the course or get the score, you get the grade you want. And there's two things that can happen. Either you, that number can turn into a blank. If you don't see a number for minimum required for a C, that means it's mathematically impossible. That means getting 100% on everything remaining still wouldn't get you to the minimum C, is what that means. But the other important thing is if you don't see a blank, it's mathematically impossible, but if minimum required for a C is, right now, whatever that number is considerably higher than your maximum, current total score, whatever that is right now, that means that staying the same, doing what you've done so far, is not going to make it. The bigger that difference is, the more you have to make a change. So think of it that way. Okay, anyway, on to today's stuff. Fairly easy lab. We just got started talking about DNA. I talked about it a little bit already, but this is, because of the way they've rescheduled things this term, we're once again in a week that's kind of ahead of where we are supposed to be in lecture. But it's very doable today anyway. In the packet that you picked up today, I just want you to get through the first five pages today, which is pretty basic, and I'll have to unlock the computers for you to do this. But it also involves playing around with these puzzle pieces, which you should take seriously, because that, I have a lot of students tell me over the years that that really helped them understand DNA structure. But anyway, let's, before I let you loose on this, which is pretty straightforward following these instructions, let's just quickly review what I've already taught you about DNA, which back when we were talking about it as a macromolecule. First of all, it's what kind of macromolecule? It's a nucleic acid, and there are two major types, right? DNA and RNA. What are some differences between DNA and RNA other than the spelling? As far as structure is concerned, what's a big difference between DNA and RNA? Right. DNA is usually a double-stranded nucleic acid, meaning really two molecules in one. And RNA is typically a single strand, a single polynucleotide. How can you tell, other than that, how can you tell that a polynucleotide is RNA or DNA? If you just look at an individual polynucleotide. In other words, either one strand of DNA or just the RNA itself. How can you tell that one is DNA and one's RNA? What's the full name of the bases? What kind of bases? No, I mean, we call them what kind of bases?
Nitrogenous
bases, yes, they contain nitrogen. And that's true, that's one difference. RNA uses a different set of nitrogenous bases compared to DNA. How many does RNA use normally? Four, and how about DNA? Also four, but it's a different four, right? They overlap in three of them. So what are the DNA nucleotides, the normal ones? I mean, the DNA nitrogenous bases. Or their letters. The letters are A, T, C, and G, but what do those stand for? Adenine, thymine, cytosine, and guanine. Those are the four that are normally used in DNA. What about the four in RNA?
A, G, T, and then was it U?
A, G, U, and C. Right. Adenine, guanine, and cytosine are also used for RNA, but instead of thymine, RNA uses uracil. So that's another difference between the two. Now, what are the monomers of any nucleic acid? Nucleotides, yes. Nucleic acids are polymers made out of nucleotide monomers. That's why the polymer is also called a polynucleotide. And individually, one nucleotide contains how many components? Three. And what are those components? What three things do you have to include to be a nucleotide? A nitrogenous base, a phosphate, and a pentose sugar, a five-carbon sugar. And that brings up another difference between RNA and DNA. If it's a DNA nucleotide, and this is what I meant when I originally asked, how can you tell whether a nucleic acid is DNA or RNA? If it's DNA, then every nucleotide in it, however many there are, has deoxyribose as the sugar. And if it's RNA, every nucleotide has ribose as the sugar. And just remember, deoxyribose is called that because it's just like ribose without one of the oxygens. Deoxyribose. And you can see that when you look at your puzzle pieces. Because there's a ribose puzzle piece and there's a deoxyribose puzzle piece. Don't use the wrong one because either one will fit. But look at the oxygens and you can tell the difference. They're also different colors, but figure that out. All right, that's enough from me. Go ahead and do those five pages.